Good morning. How's that? There we go. Now you can hear me. I hate to break up all the fellowship, but it's time for us to begin. All right, if you would, let's go ahead and say a word of prayer before we begin our class today. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for this opportunity to gather here today. And Lord, we thank you for the love that we share, and we ask you to be with us throughout this this Bible study and the worship service. Bless us in our worship to you, and help us to remain humble and contrite in your presence, Lord. Help us always through life, and help us to be the Christians that you'd have us to be. And it's in Christ's name that we pray these things. Amen. All right, I got a little treat for you, as I'd like to look at it. I'm going to give you a little overview of our trip to India, Ethan and I. Of course, the initial intent was for him to get married, so that was the point behind the trip. But we also got to meet a lot of our church family and get introduced to our extended family. So I'm going to go through a few slides and talk a little bit about the trip. I know I've gotten a lot of questions. It's hard to answer them all. And again, what I have to say is a condensed version. There's a lot to the trip, and had a lot of interesting, different experiences outside my norm.
How did Ethan get connected with her?
How did Ethan get connected? They met via the internet on a Church of Christ website. So, and then they started conversing FaceTime. So they dated about 10 months online, and then they decided they wanted to get married. So. No, that trip to India wasn't cheap. Yeah. Oh, well, I got you. Yeah. Well, you know how it is. Okay, and again, if you have questions during our demonstration today, feel free to ask questions. Just pop them up. That way it'll help answer them as we go. That way I won't get bombarded afterwards. How's that? Okay, the pictures you see in front of you here, of course, Ethan and Marina, his wife, on the left there. The center picture is a coconut tree in Marina's family home in their yard. As with most places out there, they grow their own food. They have coconut trees, banana trees, just about everything you can imagine growing on their property. So it's kind of self-sustaining. They're not totally dependent on that. I mean, they go to Chingleput and go to the market as well, but they have many of the things they eat are right there on the property. And the picture on the right is a snapshot of the church where they attend. Now, you may think it's a small building, but keep in mind there are several congregations of the Church of Christ in the Chennai and Chingleput area. So, and I'll elaborate on that a little bit more. So, any questions so far? All right. Now, the picture on the left there is a snapshot inside of the church. That's before the services began. We only had the privilege of going to church services one time while we were there. We actually arrived on a Sunday early, and then we had a Sunday in between, and then we left on a Sunday. So, unfortunately, that interrupted church services for them, but they were gracious enough to haul us back and forth to the airport. So, in the picture, in the background, that's Balarama. He's preparing the Lord's Supper before the church begins. Of course, Ethan's sitting in front of me there. The picture on the... Oh, go ahead.
Well, that's his first name, but it also is Marina's last name before she got married.
That's true.
Yes. Yeah, in that society, the daughters take on their father's first name as their last name. So she was Marina Balarama. You know, that associates her with her father. And it's a patriarchal society. The men are the center of the family unit, so you know, it all, that's the way their family structure is set up. So now it's her middle name is actually Mary, so now it's Marina Mary Curl. So she took Ethan's name. So, but
and they have one service a week, or
they generally just have one service Sunday morning. So, and then they meet on Wednesdays too. So, now the family themselves are very devout. They meet every evening before bed, and they have a scripture reading and a prayer before bed. So, and that was nice. That was a nice bonding thing for us. And they after the prayer, they put their hands together as you would in a prayer, and they nod and they bless each other after the prayer. It's very touching. But the congregation there is about 50, 60 strong. So, and the church building is, I'm going to guess it's 30 by 60. It's not a big building. Of course, everything there is constructed of concrete. You know, there's no wood structures. It won't last in that environment. You know, tropical environment, the wood just doesn't hold up. So everything's concrete. So it's a concrete building. Now the picture on the right, I was a little random, so bear with me. That's a view from atop Balarama's home. It's actually a three-story building that was their home as well as a children's school and orphanage. So it's a rather large building as they go, but that's a view from atop it. So I thought you might enjoy that. Any questions? Again, on the left there, that's a picture inside the church building. That is Ethan and Marina in the forefront there. They're handing out cake after their wedding and sharing cake with the members there so they can celebrate the wedding with them. So that was after the services. They pulled the chairs all aside and was sharing that with them. It was a nice experience. One thing I might note about the church building, during the service, it's all set up with lawn chairs, as you can see, what we call lawn chairs, the plastic chairs, and it's all movable. And when you assemble, there's a rug in front of you. And as the service proceeds, when they go to prayer, they actually kneel. They kneel in prayer, which I found very refreshing. And it adds a certain humility and a certain amount of connection, because you know you're truly involved with the worship as a congregation, and then afterwards they gather those up. And well, you know, if you're infirmed or you have bad knees, some of them sat, you know, but. You know, among those that could, we knelt, and I found that very, very nice. It was pretty cool. Yes.
Just like basically the hall downstairs here, that size. Do you have a prayer service for like all the kids, or do they go somewhere else?
The children are right there with you. As a matter of fact, during the service we were singing, I had a young girl walking around me and looking up at me. She found me very curious. But I just smiled at her. The children are there and they're present, but there's no separate thing for them. But. Yes?
You know, when I was young, probably a lot of the people here remember a long time ago that at ministry when I was a kid, I always seemed the elders always got out in the aisle and kneeled during prayer.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think as Americans, that's something we don't even consider, but I found it really refreshing, and it actually made me feel closer to God during this service. It was very touching. Another aspect of the worship that I found very interesting, when they were serving the Lord's Supper, and mind you, the service was very similar to what we do. I mean, minus the dress and the location, you know, the service was very much like ours, but while they were serving the Lord's Supper, the ladies only sang quietly. And it really added to the Lord's Supper. It made it very, very touching. And yeah, I had no idea what they were saying because they were singing in Tamil, of course. But the tune echoed in my head for hours afterwards. So, you know, it really impressed me with it. But any other questions? Oh, I'll get with that.
What did you say the language was?
Tamil. Tamil? Tamil. Yeah, Tamil. Yeah. Yeah, it's spoken in several countries. It's a very common language over there. But you have to remember there are, I think Ethan said there are over 600 different dialects. Don't quote me on that. But there are several different dialects. We traveled from one area to a different area called Talacherry, and the dialect there is different. And even Marina struggled to understand them. Even though they were speaking the same language, the dialect was so diverse that she would have to interpret it herself. So. All right, the picture upper right there, we're in a three-wheel cab. It's one of our many outings. The three of us just jumped in. They're like a motorcycle, three wheels. And you can see up to six people in one of those at one time, and it's quite crowded. But it's unique too, because when you're traveling, that's not necessarily your cab. If the driver wants to stop and pick up somebody else along the way, that's fine, you know. And then, so it's just kind of like a bus. You know, he'll take you wherever you want, just as long as... It's left side. They're right-hand drive cars, and they drive on the left-hand side of the road. So that was an experience. And I'll touch on it a little bit. The driving experience here, I didn't drive while I was there. Now, when I was in England and days gone by, I drove. I had no problem with that. But let's just put it this way. The dividing line in the highway is just merely a suggestion. So it's interesting to watch. As a matter of fact, when I first got in the car and we were heading out of Chennai, out of the airport, I was like, oh my goodness, I'm not going to survive to get to Chengalpet. But, you know, I didn't see a single accident or anything. So I think their style of driving makes you acutely aware of everyone else, including the hundreds of motorcycles that are on the road every day, which we are not used to at all. You know, if you see a motorcycle, but there are more motorcycles than there are cars. So they get used to each other, I guess. You know, you're more aware. But that was an interesting cultural difference. So the food, to answer your question, Doug, we went to a restaurant. One of the family members took us, and that was some of the food that we had there. Now, a lot of times we'd go to visit family in a village or something like that. We'd sit on the floor and eat off a banana leaf, which is nothing out of the ordinary. But and I can say this, all the food that I had was delicious. I enjoyed every bit of it. You know, a lot of it was spicy, which I normally don't eat. But and my wife was concerned. She said, you know, how are you going to handle that? But, you know, surprisingly enough, it really didn't bother me. Yes, for the most part, it was gluten-free. Yeah, their diet consists of there's a lot of rice and vegetables and very little meat, to be honest with you. They're not heavy on meat. So, of course, you know, they have bananas and jackfruit, and we had dragon fruit. I think some of you saw the pictures in there. Tastes a lot like kiwi. And they make a lot of their meals out of rice and combinations of it. And then they add sauces. If you've ever eaten at the Indian restaurant in Marietta, you know what I'm talking about. And they eat with their fingers. Typically, you know, we were at a restaurant and they offered us American spoons and forks and knives. So, you know, because it's grueling to watch me eat with my fingers. I'm not good at it. But any questions? I don't eat. They're good. I can tell you that. Some commonly asked questions, just to clarify a few things. It is a long way. It's about 10,000 miles one way, 16 hours on a plane. That's from Pittsburgh to Heathrow, which is in London, and from London to Chennai. And we flew on British Airways. So, it was a good trip, just a long one. And on top of that, their home is about an hour and a half drive from Chennai. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that
the jet lag
was pretty rough. Of course, you remember we're changing time zones. Going over, we were going backwards, you know. We lost time. And then coming back, we gained time. You know, it was shorter coming back. But, yeah, the jet lag is brutal. You think you sleep on the plane? No. Yeah, I slept. I really did. You get up and you feel like a train wreck. But any other questions? Now, we did take a train ride, which I think I've got a picture or two on here. Once the kids were married, we had a civil wedding and then a church wedding later, 2 days later, I believe it was two. Yeah, they got married 3 days. Got married on the 22nd, I think it was, civil wedding. And then on the 25th, they were married again, and church wedding. And that was interesting. I lost my train of thought. I was going to add to that. But anyway, so I got to experience two weddings while I was there. The civil wedding we did initially so we could start the immigration paperwork. So that's why. So that was, we had to have the documents to start the immigration process, and the kids wanted to do that as soon as possible so they could get the ball rolling on that. And then we made plans and had the church wedding to follow 3 days later. Yes. Yeah, her friend had painted the patterns on her hands, which is, as you said, an Indian tradition. And we had all the Indian garb for the reception. Now, for the wedding, I just wore a suit. Yes, I wore a suit. I know you might find that hard to believe. But, yeah, I got a picture. No tie. I didn't wear a tie. But she had a white wedding gown, and Ethan had a suit. But and then shortly thereafter, we changed for the reception into the traditional Indian clothing. They call it a dhoti, and it's basically a skirt. It's very comfortable, but a nice, lightweight white shirt and a skirt. So, lack of a better way to describe it. Any other questions? Yes? I've got them from the waist up. Uh-huh. But, yeah. They did. Now, the civil wedding, everyone who was present there spoke English to some degree. So it was really, we just sat down at a table and went through the legalities of it. It wasn't more of a ceremony than it was just a legal proceeding, so. But it was just her father and two administrators, myself, and the kids, and that was it. But I think I even got a snapshot of that. I don't remember.
Would they have been allowed to get married our way without doing the other, doing their ceremony?
Yes, yeah.
They don't
permit it. Is that right?
Yes.
It's not permitted?
My son had to be married the Italian way before they could get married the American way.
Interesting. Yeah.
No, it was a traditional wedding just like we have here. The same vows. The only exception was, yes.
Okay.
She got a good point. I've got over 30 slides. I better quit gabbing and move on. Okay. Okay. But anyway. Yeah, it was very much like ours, but they did, the church wedding was in English and in Tamil, because we had over 200 people attend the wedding, so. No, we weren't in the church building. They have wedding halls, and we rented a wedding hall. So. This is the train station at Talachery. I know that. Doesn't look like it's pronounced that way, but it is. This is where we, after the kids were married, we decided to take a trip to some friends on the West Coast, which is about 500 miles away, and we did that by train. If you've ever ridden on a train, we had made provisions to go by sleeper coach, which you have your own little cot you sleep on the 13-hour trip is about 500 miles. But we were on reserve, and guess what? We didn't get our first class or accommodations. We ended up on second class, which is just elbow to elbow with folks for 13 hours. So that was an interesting experience. That was on our trip over, but on the way back, we got our sleeper coaches. While we were in Talachery, the big picture on the right is our host's home. It was really nice. The topography and the people, they reminded me of West Virginia. They really did, other than the fact there were coconut trees instead of oak trees. But they're very cordial, very kind. Our host is a farmer, and he's also got he had a plantation, a rubber plantation, beg your pardon. So one of his sons, or I guess it was his son-in-law, took us to show us some of the cultural things that were going on, and he took us to a Hindu festival, which is the pictures on the left. That was so crowded. There were so many people here. And the character on the bottom there, that's supposed to be like a spiritual diviner. They dance and sing and play their instruments, and the individual supposed to collect supernatural powers, and then he would bless you for a fee. So it was interesting. You know, we got to watch some of that and then experience some of that firsthand. And the festival actually went on for a couple days, and we attended another portion of it close to their home. We walked through and got to see some more of it later. But here are some of the things that he grew on his plantation: his pineapple, jackfruit, bananas, such as that. So they also took us on a couple outings. We went out to what they were, I don't remember the name of it. Actually, I do remember, but I can't pronounce the name of the beach. It's one the world's longest driving beach, or one of them, rather. It's like three kilometers long. And you can literally drive out to the edge of the water. The sand is hard packed. It's on the Arabian Sea, so it's interesting. And you know, you can drive the full length of it and park. And we walked out on a pier, a floating pier, and got to stand out in the Arabian Sea there. Of course, they make you wear the life vest and stuff. That's what you see there. Well, the pictures on the right, that's a fort in Talachery. It's a British fort. They took us to show us that. But now the gentleman here you see pictured, that's Rakesh. That's our host's son. He took us to show us the plantation. The properties that they have are all tiered and planted up, and of course they sell the goods that they grow as well as the rubber that they grow. But you see the walls behind him. That entire plantation was a hillside, but it was all tiered, and it had everything you can imagine growing on it in different areas: coconuts and bananas and jackfruit. And it was impressive. And he just took us a little ways into it just to show it to us. And then you can see some of the gardens in the other two pictures, and the waterway where they water everything during the dry season, which we were there during the dry season. It only rained one day when we were there, and it was during the night. So typically, it's a lot wetter there during the majority part of the year, but we were there during the dry season. So. Any questions on that? I would say it is. It's probably awfully muddy. But yeah, of course, everybody wears sandals, flip-flops, and that sort of thing. And my host actually bought me a pair of sandals so I could, and I see why. You know, and my shoes had been filthy at times because, you know, when it's not muddy, it's dusty. So, and it's easier just to wash your feet. So. This is one of the homes in the same neighborhood as our host. This was the next door neighbor who Marina was friends with. And that, of course, that house is all made of concrete. It looks like it's not, but it is. But it was pretty impressive. I didn't get a very good shot of it, but they were nice folks, very cordial, very, very cordial. Some more pictures of the Hindu festival. You can see the press of the people. When we got there, it was interesting because we were trying to make our way in. You know, of course, we'd never seen such a thing, so we were trying to get a look at it. And the police officers, you can see them in the brown there, that were watching over things, spotted us, and they pulled us to the front so we could see. And that was very, very nice of them. And so, you know, he parted the waters and got us in there so I could get some good pictures. That picture, I'm holding the phone over my head.
Oh yeah,
and it was interesting. During the festival that evening, this is during the day, we went to the festival, and a lot of the people would spot us. Of course, as you can imagine, we kind of stood out, but they would spot us, and they were thrilled to see us, and they wanted to take their picture with us. And you have to realize that the younger folks, like 30 and under, they're all fairly fluent in English. Now the older generations, not so much. Now, Balaram and I could carry on a conversation, but it was pretty patchy. But the kids, you could talk freely with them, and they were thrilled, and they wanted to take pictures. You know, they'd do the selfie thing. And it was just like, I come out of there, I said, I feel like a celebrity or something, you know. But they're enamored with the United States and Americans. So it was an interesting experience. Here's some more of the crowd. As you can see, it's pretty crowded. That's after we got in the front. See, it's a little less crowded there. All right, the picture there on the left, again, that the festival continued into that night, and that was in the neighborhood. That's just within sight of our host's home. We walked past that building and out into an area where they had the dancing was going on and the music was playing really loud, the crowds. It was interesting. Very interesting. They had a parade that went past the house. I've got little videos of it, and it was all lighted parade, and they were having a ball. But it was quite a cultural experience. And the one on the right there is some more of the festival during the day. All right, this is a picture of Balarama's home, Marina as well. Marina, her parents, Balarama and Daisy, and her sister, her brother, and her brother's wife all live there. And Daisy's mother. Now, there's an interesting thing. Daisy's mother is 102 years old. And she's a little hard of hearing, but she's a beautiful lady. She sits and reads her Bible constantly. When she's not working and doing her chores and working around the house, she's sitting and reading her Bible. So the picture on the right is the driveway going in. I can't tell from here. That's the outer gate. They have two courtyards that surround the property. They have an outer courtyard, which surrounds the entire property, and then an inner courtyard, which is the house is inside the inner courtyard. So that you have to pass through two gates to get into it. So in that's the inner gate, I'm sorry. The outer gate has like a little guardhouse that goes with it. But Helping Hands International actually helped build the building years ago. And it's where the children's school was housed. Now currently they don't have any children there at the moment, but they hope to start it back up again. Any questions? It's an interesting building. It was built after American Southern architecture, like the mansions and the plantation houses. It's got an inner staircase and an outer staircase. The outer staircase is on the right, the inner one's internal in the back. But the rooms in the front all have balconies off of them. So.
Does anybody mold the grass?
No. Yeah, there's really no grass there. There's foliage on the ground, but I wouldn't call it grass. And it's a real sandy soil because their home is near the coast. They're about 30 miles from the coast, so that's more of an arid, sandy area. So, but the trees and things during the wetter part of the year flourish in that kind of environment. So you can see the trees all around there. Every one of those has a purpose. They're not just ornament. Well, a few of them are ornamental, but tall, skinny ones are just ornamental.
Is that a family home that you pass down generation?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they've been here
since 2001, I think. I can't remember. But you have to keep in mind that the weather is very hard on everything. You can tell. It looks older, but it's not as old as you might think it is. It's about 25 years old or so, 20, 25 years old. So here's another shot of it. You can see how big it is. I was on the second floor on the right there. That's where Ethan and I stayed. We got the little turnaround there, and that's a banana tree there growing right in the middle, or coconut rather, I'm sorry. After the civil wedding, we came back. This is, I know things are a little out of order here, but we came back to the house. That's the front entrance right there, and there's a big rooms in every floor, and then rooms surround the bigger room on all three floors. But that's what I call the entry hall. And the children changed their clothes and sat down, and every one of the family members blessed them after their wedding. So they showered them with flower petals, and marked on them. It's an Indian tradition, and I don't know all the terminology or the reasons behind it, but they put marked their faces and hands and stuff with this powder, and then they blessed them, everyone. I have a real touching video of the grandmother blessing them, and it's interesting to watch. The picture on the right, of course, is during the reception, and they're in their traditional garb. Now, this larger picture is Balarama and Daisy, and the kids, of course, are in the middle, the kids being Ethan and Marina. These are, it's not all of them, but these are some of the children that grew up in the children's home there. And of course, they're all young adults now, so. And other family members in the other picture there. Here's some wedding pictures. Yeah, see, I told you I wore a suit. That was actually before the wedding. They did a little photo shoot before the wedding. And of course, technically, they're already married. They've had their civil weddings, so. All right, but this is the church wedding. And then, as they came up, it was on the second level, and as they came up the stairs, of course, the bride come up first, and then the minister there that was facilitating for them, he blessed both the bride and the groom. So that's Balarama and Daisy on east side of Marina. And this is Balarama and I giving our children hands in marriage, so. Daisy's right there beside Marina. Interesting enough, Balaram and I I'm about a month older than he is, and Daisy's two or three years younger, but we got along famously. There's a bit of a communication barrier there, but you know, we had fun and we bonded during the time we spent there. So, I do miss him. Hope to see him again soon, but we had a good time. Any questions? Yeah. Now, I don't know about the visitation, but to answer your question, their society, I said, is a patriarchal society. And normally, the parents, once the children are grown, the boys stay with their parents, and they watch over their parents as their parents age. So they take over the household. Now the girls, traditionally, will marry and go with their husbands. So it's nothing out of the ordinary for her to come here and be, although the distance is quite a distance, but her coming to the United States or going away from her parents is normal. And to answer that question, I'm sure some of you are asking, it could take up to 5 to 10 months to get her here. So we're hoping that we can get that expedited, but there's a good chance it'll be another 10 months.
I've got a question. How often do you think that they'll travel back to family?
Ethan said they'll probably return once a year, just to visit. That's their plans right now. But so, like I said, that's, I guess, that's a lot of traveling. I told him he get a lot of air miles. So, anything else? The young man you see standing there is her brother. That's Danny. That young man's a card. He is fun to be around. That's a good question. I don't know what they call that. Yeah, those are flowers, though. By the way, yeah, if you go back and look at that, can you see that? Those are actually flowers. Of course, you know, they perish over time, but they were beautiful.
Yeah, it's
I'm not that familiar with Indian weddings, but you got to remember that's two cultures being blended right there. So, and but now Ethan, if Ethan were standing here, he could tell you what it was. He's got a memory. He remembers all that stuff. Again, some members of the family. The preacher there on my right. Oh, see there, from the waist up, you didn't get to see my dhoti. But that's Balarama. He and I became fast friends. So. There's another picture of the church building. It does, yeah, but it's in Tamil, so. Now, here, let's see, I'll get to my slides here. This is a picture of the CFI ministry. What it is, it's a gathering of the preachers in the area. Now, their congregation is not the only one. These are all different representatives from different congregations in southern India. That's from Chennai and Chingleput and surrounding areas and cities and states. So they, once a month, they get together. They meet at a different place. And it's to encourage one another, and they study together and make sure they have unity. So it's interesting. Balaram is in that picture. He's in the back. In the green field back there. Now this is a picture of the church in its early years. That was the original church. I'll elaborate on that a little bit later. There's Balarama leading singing. And another picture of the church in its early years. This is the children's home in its initial start. This is the building it was in initially. And some more of the children. Now in the current place where they reside, there were upwards of 60 kids there at one time. So every room was full. They had bunk beds everywhere. Of course, I met a lot of these young people. Of course, they're now 30-somethings. And we would go to town and go shopping and run into some of these people. And they would stop their motorcycle and jump off and hug Marina and say, "Who's this?" You know. So, you know, she'd say, "This is my husband," and her dad, or his dad, rather. But it was fun. But Of course.
Their baby boom was about the same time as our baby boom here.
Yes.
Yeah. Of course, they were raising their children while they were raising all the orphan children. And they were teaching them and teaching them the Bible as well. So there's more pictures of them. It's interesting, I have another picture, it's not in this group, of these kids gathering on the roof of the home they currently live in. See, the roof is just another patio. Being a stone structure, you know, it's just sealed, and the house is open. It's never shut up unless you have the air conditioning running, which they only have in a few rooms.
Is it beveled at all to allow rain to drain?
It's a little bit. It's got a little bit of a pitch to it, and it has drain holes in the wall surrounding the roof area. Of course, they have a well, and they pump the water up to a tank on the roof, and that's where they get the water pressure. So. More pictures of the children. Okay, well, I have many, many pictures, but I tried to share a few of them with you. I do have some on my phone if you're interested in looking at them. Have any more questions?
How did the church get spread to India?
There you go.
All right, just a few notes on Balarama. That's Marina's father, and a little bit about the history of the church in Chingleput and Tamilanu in general. Now, as far as Balarama goes, he was born in 1965, to his parents, Swaminathan and Chinna Kananama. Sorry, I'm not, you can tell I'm from West Virginia. But, so, as I said, he's just a little younger than I am. After completing his schooling, now his parents were Hindu. But after he completed his schooling, he ran a hotel for a few years with the intention of starting his own business. But at that time, he got familiar with the church through a radio program the Bangalore Bible College was putting out. So in 1980, he came to Chennai, and while working for a private company, he got an opportunity to know more about Christ through a public meeting about Christianity that was held by the World Bible School. And in 1986, he was baptized and became a member of the church. So from 1987, from an invitation from Paul Ranganathan, it's probably not pronounced that way, he started going to the Church of Christ in Chennai. So the church was already established there. I don't have a history of how long it's been there, but it's been there for quite a while. And his congregation started... His college life. He studied Bible in college at the World Bible School, and that's when he met. In 1987, he met Daisy, his wife, and her father was a member of the church, and of course that's Granny's husband, and I can't pronounce her name. Anyway, they met in 1987. And since 1990, he was a teacher at the Bible College and did service in Tamil Nadu, Kerala, and other states in the southern region and in many areas. And they formed many congregations in doing that. So he's been a part and parcel of forming other congregations and brought many believers to Christ. And since 1996, when they first started a ministry in Chingleput, there were limited facilities, and he and Daisy went about on foot, and they preached the gospel in many homes, and as a result, they brought many people to Christ in doing that. And then the congregation was first started in Balaram's home at the time, and... They gathered many believers, and the congregation grew all from the surrounding villages. And after a lot of hard work and prayer, they built the church building that you know of now. Took about 6 years for him to get that taken care of. Now, the children's home, their motto is from Job 31 and 17. It says, "Or have eaten my morsel myself alone, and the fatherless have not eaten thereof." And that's their motivation for the children's home. That was their the verse that they used to base that on. And a lot of the local congregations and the local people helped with the charitable organization. And 2001, it became a registered charitable trust under the government, and so it became official at that time. Now, the last thing I wanted to share with you, it said for the Church of Christ preachers, I mentioned the fact that they all gathered and at that conference, and they were meeting every month and motivating each other. And one thing I wanted to take away from this, we can all take comfort in the fact that we have an extended church family, and it's worldwide. I felt as much at home in India in church as I did here. Maybe they were kind, generous. The people were very accepting and always full of smiles. The folks that I met that were involved in church are very studious. They're very devout people, very kind. And they like to laugh, and they're very joyful. And it was refreshing, their sincerity and their approach to things. I want to read a verse with you, and then we'll wrap this up. If you would, turn to Philippians chapter 2 with me. And we'll leave with this thought. Okay, this is Philippians chapter 2, and it begins, "Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if you have any comfort from His love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, and if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being in one spirit and one mind, doing nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others." So I've seen a very good example of that with the church in India. So if you have any other further questions. Kelly?
I was at the fitness center yesterday swimming. Mm-hmm. Laps and a gentleman beside me, we kind of stopped at the same time. And actually, I was kind of talking to him. Mm-hmm. And found out that he was from India. Uh-huh. And I said, "Well, I know someone that just married him." Boy, his eyes lit right up.
Yeah.
Seemed like this, someone from India had married, an Indian
boy. Yeah,
interesting. I also wanted to take note that the world is a lot smaller than we give it credit, and people are people everywhere, and the love that these folks showed us is just wonderful. So, again, if you see me and you have an opportunity, I can answer other questions that come to your mind, but. Take heart, my brothers and sisters. There are more members of the Lord's church than we realize. So, thank you for your